Thank you so much for joining us today. We really hope God speaks to you through this message.
But I want us to go ahead and just start off in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much. God, thank you for this opportunity that we have to come together as brothers and sisters, to glorify you, to get into your presence, God. I pray right now, I pray over the word that is about to be delivered, God. I pray that this message is delivered exactly how you want it to be. I pray that there are testimonies that come out of today, transformations. I pray that we will get to know you deeper and on another level, Lord, today. In Jesus' name, we love you, God. I pray right now that you use me to administer this message to your people, God. We love you. We praise your holy, beautiful name, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. First, I would like to thank the Lord for this beautiful message that he has here for everybody. And I would like to thank Pastor Dave and the whole pastor's council for this opportunity to speak with everybody here. So my name is Nate Trott. I am an ordained pastor from the States. We have recently relocated to Canada. And yeah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Yes, yes. I see that you guys call it the States. We call it America, but I have adapted. Now I call it the States, you know. My wife the other day was like, why are you calling it the States? I said, well, baby, we're Canadian now. So, but yeah, it's an honor. It's an honor to be up here giving the message for you guys. This is a message that the Lord has given me. And the message today is entitled Legal Rights / Knowing Jesus. Legal Rights / Knowing Jesus. By the end of this message, we should know the Lord on a deeper level. The Lord wants to show us another side of himself today. Also, there's a lot of specific things in the message that I feel that are for some people here. So, let's get into it. Now, we're going to go into the worldly definition of legal rights. What is legal rights? So, legal rights are rights or protections that are recognized and enforced by law. They give a person permission, freedom, ownership, protection, or access that governments and courts are expected to uphold. Okay, so that is legal rights in the worldly sense. Now we're gonna go into the definition of legal rights in spiritual terms. Okay? So legal rights in spiritual terms is a rightful claim, authority, permission, or access established by God through his word, covenant, and divine justice. Or simply put, spiritual legal rights are rights granted or recognized by God according to his word. That's the simplest term. Okay, so just for the sake of this sermon, we are going to be seeing the Bible, the Word of God, as a legal document. Okay, so I'm going to be referring to legal rights and the Word of God as a legal document, just to give more of an understanding of what the Lord wants us to understand today. Amen? So it is a legal document that contains God's covenant, promises, commands, inheritance, and judgments. So, just to keep in mind, Nobody can just read the Bible and have access to God's promises, God's blessings. Nobody can just do that. There's one requirement to it, and that is accepting Jesus as your Savior. So anyone that has the Lord as their Savior has legal rights to the promises and blessings and different things that the Word and God promises us. So, amen. Praise God. Praise the Lord. So, through the Word of God, what do we have legal rights to? I'm going to go through a few. One is the authority in Jesus' name. Access to God through prayer. Forgiveness of sins. Inheritance of eternal life. Freedom from condemnation. Just to name a few, but one of the most beautiful and miraculous things that we have a right to, legal right to, is us becoming a child of God. Amen? This is John 1, 12 through 13. It says, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. To those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So, I want us to all just grab a hold of that revelation of how we're, if we have Jesus as our Savior, we are children of God. What does that mean? The blessings, the protection, the authority that we can step into. I just want us to grab a hold of that understanding. Okay, so next I want to talk about forgiveness, deliverance, and freedom. I want us to hold on to what I just mentioned about legal rights, and I want to talk about this real quick here. Forgiveness, deliverance, and freedom. So I really feel like this is the part of the message that is for a lot of people here. Now, there's a difference between receiving forgiveness and receiving deliverance. There's a lot of people that are forgiven, but still experiencing demonic oppression, still experiencing bondage. There's a lot of people that are forgiven but don't feel free. This is what I want us to get a hold of today. But by the end of this message, we're going to feel free. We're going to feel released from bondage. Okay, so how are we forgiven but still experiencing demonic oppression or bondage? We're going to go through the definition. So forgiveness. Forgiveness is the removal of sin, the removal of our debt before God. This is 1 John 1:9. It says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So that is forgiveness. Now, what is deliverance? It's separate. Deliverance is being rescued from bondage, being rescued from the power that is holding us down. Jesus came to give deliverance. Jesus came to give freedom. So this is Luke 4:18. It says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. So now we see the difference between forgiveness and deliverance. So ultimately, what do we want to experience? We want to experience that freedom. We're going to experience it today. So freedom is the state of being liberated from oppression, control, or restriction. And it is basically us living out what Christ already did for us. Amen? So this is Galatians 5:1. It says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage." So there's a way that we can get ourselves entangled again into bondage and different things that are oppressing us. This is John 8:36. It says, "Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed." Amen? There's only true freedom in this world through Jesus. That's it. You can't find it anywhere else. And just a side note, you know, everything that we can access in the kingdom, salvation, abundance, peace, love, whatever it is, it's already available for us. Jesus already accomplished it on the cross. All we need to do is just access it through our free will. That's it. Amen? Okay, so again, the Bible is the Word of God. In spiritual terms, let us look at it as a legal document. All right? And unfortunately, the devil uses the Word of God against us. All right? I want to get into some tactics that the devil uses against us. You know, the devil doesn't want his tactics to be exposed. We're going to talk about a few things that he does so that we become wiser and we can be watchful against those things and we can be successful and victorious against what he tries to throw at us. Amen? This is 1 Peter 5:8. It says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." So what is he doing here? What is the devil doing when he's roaring, going about like a roaring lion? He's tempting people. He's lying to people. He can't make any of us sin, but what he's doing is he's setting up traps for people. And what is he looking for here? He's looking for people that are living in willful sin. That's what he's looking for. So there's a difference between accidental kind of spur of the moment sin and then willful sin. We need to be well aware of that. This is Hebrews 10:26. It says, "For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins." We all need to be aware of this. So there's a place that we can get to where we're living in actual willful sin, and we need to run from that. Because what does the Bible say? It says there remains no sacrifice for sin. I know the pastor was talking about this last week, about we need to be covered. We need to constantly stay covered. In a way that we're not covered by the blood is if we're living in willful sin. Okay? So it doesn't matter if you consider yourself a Christian, if you live your life in contradiction to this legal document, then it gives the devil a legal right to do what he does. And what does he do? What is the devil's ministry? This is John 10:10. It says, "The thief does not come except to steal, kill, and destroy." That's all he does. So we don't want to give him any sort of right to be able to do that to us. So, Okay. I just want to say this. This isn't a works-based gospel that I'm preaching right now. It's about obedience. It's about obedience. It says in the Word of God that Abraham was justified through faith. But Abraham wouldn't have been justified if it wasn't for his obedience. Faith is not just believing. It's also actions. Amen? So this is just to keep us all safe, okay? I know this is a heavier part of the message, but this is one of my jobs as a pastor, is to make people aware of the things that we face in this life. Okay, we're going to just go into another tactic from the enemy. I just want everybody to be aware of some things that he is actually doing behind the scenes. So this is Job 1:6-7. Now, there was a day when the sons of God, those are the angels, came to present themselves before the Lord. And Satan also came among them. And the Lord said to Satan, "From where do you come?" So Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro on the earth and from walking back and forth on it." So that's in reference to what we were just talking about in 1 Peter. He's going up and down, to and fro. That's what he does. But notice here how he was able to present himself before the Lord. Okay, this is Revelation 12:10. It says, "Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, 'Now salvation and strength in the kingdom of God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren, who accused them before our God day and night, has been cast down.'" So he's presenting himself before God. He's accusing us. He's accusing us. All right, lastly, this is Luke 22:31. It says, "And the Lord said to Simon, 'Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat.'" So I just want us to take those three scriptures and kind of just take a look at what the enemy does to us. Okay, he takes this, the Word of God, this legal document, and he calls us by name, and he accuses us. He says, "Nate, according to your word, is doing this, that, and the other thing." Okay? So we just need to be well aware that the devil knows Scripture very well. He probably knows it better than all of us in this room combined. He uses the Word of God against us. So that's why we need to be in our word daily. We need to know what God is instructing us to do. What are his commandments? You know, how are we supposed to be living our life? You know, we need to stay in fellowship with the brethren. We need to, you know, be coming to church and constantly in prayer. You know, because we have an enemy. We have an enemy. So I just want us all to just take a deep breath. I know this is kind of the heavier part of the message. This isn't to condemn anybody. You know, it's just to keep everybody aware of what we're facing. You know, we're all going to slip. We're all going to stumble. Nope, none of us is perfect. But we got to be wise. We got to be wise in this life. Okay. Next, we're going to be talking about knowing Jesus and understanding his sacrifice. So it's going to seem like we're switching gears a little bit, but this is all going to be tied together. I'm going somewhere. So the more that we understand Jesus, the more that we get to know him, the closer that we get to him, and the more access that we get to different things that he accomplished for us on the cross. Amen. You know, Christianity is the only religion, belief system that is based around a relationship with God. So the closer that we get to God, the more he trusts us. He trusts us with anointing. He trusts us with blessings. So We want to take this time to just understand Jesus a little bit better. So, like I mentioned earlier, true freedom in this world is only through him. It is only through Jesus. So, one thing I want us to understand is there was a lot of sacrifice that the Lord went through when he was here on earth. Life was not a cakewalk for him. It was not easy. I'm not just talking about the cross. You know, his life was not easy. And the one thing about the Gospels that I think is so beautiful is the Gospels are not Jesus-focused. The Gospels are focused on us. The Gospels are focused on what he did for us. It never talks about what Jesus was feeling. It never talks about his pain, even though he went through so much. That's why it's not Jesus-focused. It really is focused on what he did for us. I mean, think about when he is mocked and ridiculed. It doesn't talk about, and then Jesus felt this, and then Jesus was going through this. Jesus was thinking about this. You know, think about it. He came to serve, not be served. And that's his nature, but it wasn't just an easy thing. Even though it doesn't talk in the Gospels about what Jesus was feeling at times, there is some scriptures in Isaiah 53 that give some things away. So this is Isaiah 53, 1 through 3. It says, "Who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant." They're speaking about Jesus. "And as a root out of dry ground." I just want us to stop there for a second. I mean, is it easy for a root to grow out of a dry ground? You know, it's an analogy for just how difficult things were for him here. Also, tender plant. Tender means gentle, soft. Jesus was meek, gentle. Think about what this world does to us, let alone Jesus, who is all loving, pure. Think about how he must have been treated like an outcast. Rejected. Okay. Next it says, "He has no form or comeliness. And when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him." Now, comeliness means beauty, attractiveness, or pleasing appearance. So, according to this scripture, Jesus wasn't given beauty. He wasn't a handsome man. He wasn't like a supermodel here on earth. I mean, think about it. That's a sacrifice in itself. In heaven, he's glorious, you know, majestic. Even coming to earth and not having beauty a part of his attributes. That alone is a sacrifice. And I see why God would have done this, because as humans, what do we want to do? We want to follow the people that are the best looking, the tallest. Look at our politicians. Look at our actors and actresses and musicians. You know, God didn't want us following Jesus because he looked like the Messiah. He wanted us following Jesus because of who he is. Amen? Okay, so this is verse 3. It says, "He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and he hid, as it were, And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Think about that. That was his experience in this life. It says acquainted with grief, meaning he was familiar with. He experienced it regularly. He was hated, looked down upon, rejected, disregarded, counted as worthless or unimportant. Still, he remained sinless. He didn't hate anybody. He wasn't jealous of anybody. He remained pure. Sacrifice. Okay, next. Jesus had his identity changed for us. Listen. So, Jesus was known as the Word of God. He was not Jesus. He was not named Jesus until he was born here on earth. So, I'm going to run through some scripture right now. It says in John 1:1-2, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made." So think about it. He had his identity, his name changed. That's not easy. That's not an easy thing. I mean, think about it. If I had my name just changed, you know, if the Lord said to me, "Nate, I'm going to send you on this mission, okay? You're going to do this for me. And I want you to go by Raphael." Okay? Of course I would obey. It wouldn't be the easiest thing. I like my name. I'm used to it. It means a lot to me. That's just another sacrifice that Jesus laid down for us. So how do we know that they were the Bible speaking of Jesus in these scriptures? Let's go to John 1:14. It says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." There it is. The Word became flesh. That was Jesus. So, just one thing that I want to touch on, because I see a lot of people of God getting this confused about the Lord. So when it says that all things were made through him, it doesn't say that Jesus created all things. Walk with me. Walk with me here, okay? It says all things were made through him. Jesus, the Word of God. All right, how were all things made through him? I want to go to Genesis 1:3. It says, "Then God said, let there be light. And there was light." The Word of God. Let there be light. The Word. That's how all things were made. God spoke, the Word created everything. Amen? Okay. So, the last thing that I want to touch on as it comes to Jesus is, what was at stake when he came to earth? There's a lot of things at stake. This was no joke. This was a high-pressure situation, okay? He had to come, live a sinless life with all of this oppression and just the way that the world works. So, remember, we're talking about legal rights. Legal rights here. The devil had zero ownership on Jesus when he was here on earth. Zero. He never gave the devil one opportunity. One opportunity. The devil had no claim on him. The devil had no legal right to Jesus, so Jesus could defeat death. As a result of him having no ownership, he was able to defeat death. This is John 14:30. It says, "I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming, and he has nothing in me." Nothing. No claim. So compared to us, this is why we need Jesus as our Savior, for his sacrifice to cover our sins. You know, even the most humble man that was living at the time had plenty of accusations against him, Moses. So this is Numbers 12:3. It says, "Now the man Moses was very humble, more than all men who were on the face of the earth." This is Jude 1:9. It says, "Yet Michael, the archangel, in contending with the devil, when he disputed about the body of Moses, dared not bring against him a reviling accusation, but said, 'The Lord rebuke you.'" So what was the dispute about? What was the dispute about? So Moses sinned plenty of times, just like all of us. So I want to talk about this. In the Bible, it talks about Hades and it talks about hell. So there's a difference between the two. There was a dispute about the body of Moses. Where was his destination? Okay? So the Word of God, it talks about Hades. It's the, in other words, it's the realm of the dead. So there was a torment side and there was a side of comfort. I want to talk about Lazarus and the rich man really quick. It says, "So it was that the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried, and being in torments in Hades, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom." So we understand that this was one place, but different regions, different conditions for people. So I say all of this, we're going somewhere. I say all of this because when Jesus died on the cross, his next destination was the realm of the dead. This is Ephesians 4, 9, and 10. It says, "Now this he ascended." What does it mean? "But that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth. He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things." So Jesus, he was able to defeat death because he was found in the realm of the dead, sinless. Just think about how difficult it was on this earth for him living this life. And still, not even a judgment, no ounce of hatred, no ounce of bitterness, nothing was found in him. So when he was in Hades, the Holy Spirit was able to raise him from the dead. Amen? Hallelujah. Okay, so with all of that said, we're talking about legal rights. Now we're going to get into legal rights and how we triumph in life, how we gain victory, how we gain freedom. I would like to invite the worship team up. You know, I just want to encourage everybody right now. Now that we have more of an understanding of Jesus, that's where our freedom is. That's where our blessings are. I just want to encourage everybody that nobody in here, nobody's story is over with. We can accomplish every single thing that God has us here to accomplish. It doesn't matter where you've been. It doesn't matter where you come from. It doesn't matter what you've done. There's victory in him. There's victory in Jesus. Amen. As children of God, we have legal right. We have legal right to all of these blessings, deliverance, freedom, in Jesus' name. So I just want to go through from some scriptures briefly talking about what we can step into. So this is Mark 9:23. It says, Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. All things are possible. If you believe it, you can step into it. What are you believing for? Picture it, imagine it, see it being done. And it's going to happen for you. Amen? It says in Matthew 7:7-8, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open to you. A closed mouth is a closed destiny. Ask your Father for what it is you need. If you're having problems with finances, that's a big, you know, issue for a lot of people, a lot of us. It says in Deuteronomy 8:18, and you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers as it is this day. That is a promise from the Lord. He'll give you the wisdom to walk this scripture out. It's our inheritance. In Jeremiah 30:17, it says, for I will restore health to you and heal you of all your wounds. If you are seeking healing for anything, there's healing in Jesus. There's healing in Jesus. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We praise you, Lord. We thank you, God. Lastly, Jeremiah 17:7-8. It says, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose hope is the Lord. Amen. So I want us to go into something right now where we can receive freedom. I know a lot of people in here, they're feeling pressures from different things, and a lot of it is spiritual. So we're going to break those things. Now that we have a deeper revelation of what forgiveness is, what deliverance is, what freedom is, what we have legal right to as children of God, I want to lead everybody in some prayer. So there are steps, different steps from us being able to receive deliverance from oppression, okay? I'm going to run through them. So number one is we need to forgive. Forgive. So I just want to get some deeper revelation for everybody on forgiveness. So this is Matthew 6:14-15. It says, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. We need to forgive the people that have hurt us, that have wronged us, because of how much God has forgiven us. I know it's hard. I know it's hard at times. There's things that have happened to some of us that are tough, you know? I understand that. But Jesus gives us the strength to forgive. And ultimately, what happens? When we're able to forgive, we become more like Jesus. And that's the whole point. The whole point of us walking with God is to become more like him. So it's not just about knowing Jesus. It's about becoming more like him. That's how we're able to really serve the way that we're supposed to. That's how we're able to love the way that we're supposed to. Okay. Amen. Hallelujah. So the first one is to forgive. The next is to ask for forgiveness for our sins. We need to ask for forgiveness from the Lord for our sins. The next is we need to renounce the devil and the kingdom of darkness. We need to strip that power away from him. We need to renounce the devil. The next thing we do is we break the agreement and the legal rights that he has on us. That's step number four. Break the legal agreement and legal rights he has on us. And number five is don't turn back. Don't turn back. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, We all have the strength to not go back to our old ways, our old habits. So those are the steps, and we're going to go through them together. If everybody could please stand. Hallelujah. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. We thank you that we have this opportunity to see freedom in your name, God. We bless your holy name, Jesus. Hallelujah. Okay. You can repeat this prayer with me. We're just going to go through a forgiveness prayer. We're just going to release all those people that we might be holding bitterness in our hearts to. Amen. Okay, repeat this prayer with me. Say, Heavenly Father, I forgive everyone that has hurt me. I release them. I give them to you. I thank you for the strength to forgive. I thank you, God, for not holding this in my account. Thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, now we're just going to ask for amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Yes. Yes. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. We let it go. This room even feels lighter already. Praise God. Okay, now we're just going to ask for just forgiveness for our sins. Repeat this prayer with me. Say, Heavenly Father, I pray that you forgive me for all of my sins and all my trespasses, anything that I've done to offend you, God, to go against your word. Wash me clean in the blood of Jesus. Cleanse me. Wash me, Lord. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you. Okay. Now we're going to renounce the kingdom of darkness. We're going to renounce the kingdom of darkness over our lives. Okay? Repeat this prayer with me. Say, Heavenly Father, I renounce the kingdom of darkness. I renounce the devil and any power, any stronghold he may have on my life. In Jesus' name. Okay, now we're going to break the agreement. Say, Heavenly Father, I break the agreement that the devil has on my life. In Jesus' name. I strip him of all power he has against me. I break every chain he has on me. In Jesus' name, I bind, I rebuke everything from the devil on my life. And I cast it out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen, 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 amen. Hallelujah. Let's give it up for the Lord. Praise you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, now it's time for us. Don't turn back. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, we have the strength. We have the strength to do it. So now I'm going to pray a blessing over everybody's life. Heavenly Father, I pray for your hand to be upon us, be upon everybody here, God. I thank you that you've washed us clean in your blood. I thank you for the deliverance that has taken place today. I thank you for the freedom that we're experiencing in Jesus' mighty name. And I break any sort of weapon being formed up against anybody here from the enemy. Today is a new day. There will be testimonies that spring forth from this message today in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. We thank you for your presence here, God. And I pray that you lead and you direct everybody in their path, whether it's being a part of a fellowship, whether it's serving here at the church, whether it's having to get deeper in the word of God, whether it's having to pray more, Lord, I pray that you place an anointing, you place instructions upon everybody here in Jesus' name. I declare and I decree that the blessing of the Lord, the promises of God be placed upon everybody here in Jesus' name. I pray for a full manifestation of the word to take place in everybody's hearts and everybody's life here in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. We praise you, we worship you, Lord. We thank you for this deliverance, this healing, this freedom that we're experiencing today. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Let's thank the Lord for his word. We thank you, God. We praise you, God. We thank you so much, Jesus. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. You may take a seat. You may take a seat in God's presence. So I don't want to assume that everybody in here has Jesus as their Savior. I just want to take this opportunity to lead those that want to accept the Lord today as their Savior in a prayer. I just want to encourage everybody to just get closer to the Lord. Just work on your relationship with him. And be aware of all the enemy's tactics. So it says in the word of God that for God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son. And whoever calls on him shall have eternal life. So right now, I'm going to pray a salvation prayer for those who today is their day of salvation. And if you're that person, repeat this prayer with me. Say, dear Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive me of my sin. Wash and cleanse me. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. Jesus, I thank you for dying for me. I believe you're coming back for me. I am saved. I am born again. And I'm on my way to heaven. Because I have Jesus in my heart, and Jesus loves me. Amen. 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 God bless you guys. God bless you so much. Okay, I'd like to call up Pastor Joel to do the benediction.
Hey, my name is Felix, and we really hope that message spoke to you. We have hundreds of sermons to check out from wherever you're listening. Thank you again for joining us, and we hope to see you again. Peace.